James chapter 1, and I want to start with verse 19. I got a powerful word the Holy Spirit gave me, fresh out of heaven to be released on earth this morning. Amen? James 1, 19 through 27, and it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one," underline it, "will be blessed in what he does," or she does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not, underline it, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Man, it just feels like fresh air up here today. That was amazing praise and worship, wasn't it? Well, today I want to talk about something extremely important. This goes for everyone, so nobody falls asleep in here, because this is for every person in here. Amen? Today I want to talk about the importance of communication. The importance of communication. Now, that might sound like, well, that's kind of boring. Oh, no. I got 9 pages of gold here, people. You're going to love this. All right, so hold on, okay? Here we go. Communication, or to communicate, is defined as this: the sharing or exchanging of information, news, or ideas. The sharing or exchanging of information, news, or ideas. And the Holy Spirit said, add this into it too. To add in, it's the exchanging or communication of emotions. Say emotions. So it is the sharing or exchanging of something. There's different kinds of communication. There's verbal, there's nonverbal. Amen. But in this message, I'm going to focus on our verbal communication with other people. How's that sound? Amen. Pretty interesting stuff. Now, this is a discipleship kind of a message. Why? Because we're a discipleship church here, right? We're here to make disciples. Amen. So here's what you got to know about this topic. This topic is very close to the heart of our Heavenly Father. Because how we communicate, how we treat other people affects our relationship with Him. You can't separate the two. So that's why it's very important with our relationship with others. It affects our relationship with God. So what you need to know is this: there's a right way to communicate and there's a wrong way to communicate. Amen? The Word of God has a lot to say about how we communicate with other people. All right? So I want you to notice in James 1:19, it said these words. It said that we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Amen? When you are quick to hear, you will be slow to wrath. Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. Pin drop time. Listen, when you're quick to hear, you'll be slow to wrath, all right? The Holy Spirit here in this passage, He is warning us as Christians to be patient. Say patient. We need to be patient, and we need to hear from people. We need to hear before we let anything come out of our mouth. Amen? Guess what that's called? Wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. That's some very important wisdom from our Creator. Amen? And there's a reason, by the way, why God created us with 2 ears and 1 mouth. Amen? 2 ears and 1 mouth. Proverbs 18:13 says this: He who answers a matter, underline it, before he hears it, is it's folly and shame to him. Isn't that interesting? It's folly and shame to him. So if you're answering something, you just see a situation going on, and you're just, you know, a lot of times, what would we call these kind of people? They're hotheads. They're hotheads. Say hothead. Now, here's the deal. Folly, what's folly? Folly is defined as this: a lack of good sense or foolishness. And shame is defined as this. Are you ready? A feeling of humiliation. Say humiliation. So what the Word of God is telling us here, that if we're just going to verbally blow up and spew words out before hearing a matter, it will bring humiliation into our life. You know what humiliation is? It will humble you. Have you ever done that? You heard of a situation, you just blew up, and you didn't hear the matter, but then you heard it, and you're like, boy, don't I feel dumb now. Well, I feel dumb. You want to know why? Because there's two sides to every story. There's always two sides to every story. Amen? So here's the deal. So if it will bring humiliation into your life, how? How does it bring humiliation into your life if you're going to be quick to blow up and not hear the matter? If you have that kind of reputation of being a hothead, you want to know what happens? Are you ready? Listen to me. People will lose trust and respect for you. They won't take you seriously, and eventually, are you ready? They will not value your opinion. You close people off to you. Am I talking to anyone in here today? No, I'm talking to someone online right now. Nobody in Living Waters Chapel. No, seriously, I don't have anyone in mind. I'm just preaching the word. Amen? If it applies to you, we'll just receive it. Amen? But listen to this. Proverbs 18:2. Man, Proverbs is so rich, isn't it? So much to say about it. Proverbs 18:2 says this: a fool has no delight in understanding, but, here's the key, but expressing his own heart. Isn't that something? Oh my goodness. So here's the deal. You see, God is putting this stuff in the Word for this reason. Are you ready? Because God knew that there would be a fleshly temptation that is always going to be around, where that we're going to have that temptation to speak on something based on our negative emotions and not hear the matter first. See, wherever there's a command, wherever there's an exhortation, God puts it in there as a warning, because he knows that's going to be a temptation to do that. Are you following me? All right. So he knew that there was going to be a temptation to step outside of our love walk with our fellow man. Why? Why? Because let's face it, in our own heart, in our own mind, we have pride, right? We want our way to be shown. We want our way to be heard, right? Without having true understanding of what's going on. Amen? So he knew, God knew, that the enemy, demons, the entire kingdom of darkness will be whispering lies in our spiritual ears and try to influence us to step outside of the boundary of love. We have to stay in love. Say, I got to stay in love. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Listen to this. This kind of surprised me, because I was like, really? But this, I'm telling you, it was clear as a bell. He said the most common way of sinning for a believer and stepping out of love is not by wrong actions, it's by spoken words or corrupt communication. Say corrupt communication. See, James 1:26 says this: if anyone among you thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, it says that one's religion is useless and vain. Amen? So here's the deal. An uncontrolled tongue is the fruit or the result of a deceived heart. Yes, a deceived heart. Don't you go falling asleep on me out there. Listen to me. Okay, I know I'm saying some heavy things here. Listen to this. So an uncontrolled tongue is the fruit or the result of a deceived heart, all right? Bridling or restraining the tongue would fall under the category of self-control as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, right? Because it takes self-control to hold back our tongue, to just not verbally vomit, amen, right? So not bridling your tongue or not thinking things through before you speak is what? It's a fruit of the flesh. It's a fruit of the flesh. The flesh overrides our spirit man when there is a lack of renewing your mind with the Word of God. That's what the renewing of the mind does. It restrains your flesh and allows your born-again spirit man to have more influence in your life. You getting it? And who lives in your spirit man? The Holy Spirit. So when you're giving your born-again spirit man more influence, guess who else you're giving more influence? The Holy Ghost. Amen? That's a good thing. So God literally tells us in His Word that we are deceiving our heart if we think that we're in good standing with Him, but we're not willing or able to bridle our tongue or to control the spoken words that are coming out of our mouth. We have to be able to control. That's why this is a discipleship message. See, there's no perfect person. We've all had times, and you're probably still going to have times where you're not going to be able to bridle that thing. Come on. Right? That's why this is discipleship. It's showing you the right way. It's giving you something to think about. So the next time you want to verbally vomit, you're going to hold back and say, well, Pastor James' message said this, right? Verse 27 goes on to tell us that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from worldly evil influences. Amen? So, in that, to keep yourself unspotted from the world, guess what? That's all in the context of being careful what words come out of your mouth. See, when you're spotted by the world, you can spot that a million miles away in someone, can't you? Right? Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've been around the world, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, you're not right with God, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come out. Amen? So you got to understand this. Our spoken words matter. And the Holy Spirit and both kingdoms in the spirit realm are paying very close attention to what? Come on, listen to this. To what we're saying and how we're saying it to people. What and how? Say what and how. What and how? Okay? James 1:21 says this. See, a lot of you, the only thing, when you think about words, the only thing you think about is what you're saying. Guess what I'm introducing? The how you're saying it now. Because the how is just as important as the what. Yes. Amen? James 1:21 says this. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness humility, with meekness, which is humility, being teachable, the implanted word. And then it says something very interesting, which is able to save your souls. That's very interesting. Now, this verse is so powerful. It reveals some important things to us. It reveals how we are to receive instruction from the Word of God. We are to be meek. We're to receive it with meekness. So let me give you the definition of meek, all right? The word meek is defined as this: quiet. That's interesting, isn't it? Quick to hear, slow to speak. Quiet, right? Don't spew things out that you shouldn't be. Quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon, and submissive. Really, being meek means that you're being humble before God. Amen? It gives this idea, the word meek gives this idea. It gives the idea of a person that will not fight against the instructions of the Word of God, but rather they're willing to lay down their own pride and receive the correction and the instruction from the Word of God. That's what meek is. Amen? Moses, he was the meekest person on the earth, it says, right? In fact, he said that about himself, right? But that was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. The Holy Spirit wanted us to know that little fact. But now watch this. It says to receive the implanted word with meekness or submissiveness. The only way the word of God will be truly be able to be implanted in our heart is if we are meek and submissive to God and his word. Amen? To submit means this, to put under. In other words, you lift the word above you. Amen? When you put the word above you, it means you're going to walk in obedience to him. Amen? You're submitting. You're putting, sub means to put under. Amen? So the opposite of being meek is to be, listen to this, to be impatient or rebellious or prideful. All right? So don't do those things and you'll be meek. Right? So listen to this. So we submit, we put ourselves under the word of God. We receive the word of God. We meditate on it. When you meditate on the word, you'll start to understand it. The Holy Spirit will give you more revelation on that truth. And then roots begin to form in your heart. Are you following me? Roots begin to form in your heart in connection to that seed or truth that's being spoken or whatever you read in the word. It all goes back to the parable of the sower. Now, some people call it the parable of the soil, because the whole parable is talking about the condition of the heart of an individual. That's why it's called the soil. Your heart is like soil. Amen? Because that entire parable that's being talked about is talking about the condition of a human's heart. All right, not the physical pump, your spirit and soul. Amen? The conditions of a person's heart or soul. If the soil of your heart is like dry ground, all right, dry and hard ground, that seed will never take root and grow in your life. It will. What does that mean? It means it will never bear fruit in your life. And the whole point of the word of God is for it to get in us, get planted, grow roots, and act on it. That's the whole point. Amen? All right. Now, so a piece of the puzzle of how to have the seed of God's word truly take root in your heart to truly change you, you must be meek. You must be meek. You must be humble. And patience is included with that, and submissive to the word of God. You got to be willing. There needs to be a willingness to understand it, right? Because even Hebrews says that the word, when the word of God's being heard, when the word of God's being read, it's got to be mixed with what? Faith. So if it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to go anywhere. That's why you have atheists who can read the word of God and they don't get anything out of it. Are you following me? There needs to be faith. I like to say it this way, you need to be bent toward God. God, I want to hear what you got to say because I want it to change my life. I want it to change my heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, if you're meek, listen, you're not going to fight it anymore. You're not going to fight against the Holy Spirit. Amen? You truly desire to please God and make the needed changes in your life. That's what meek is. Amen? Now, verse 21 finishes the instruction to receive the word of God with meekness by telling us something very, very interesting. And I want to touch on this. It says that the implanted word is able to save our souls. Now, I know what you're, when I read that, the first thing that people think about when you hear saving your souls, you're thinking about dying and going to heaven one day, right? It's talking about salvation that way. No, it goes deeper than that. There is a truth to that, but it goes deeper than that. Listen to this. The Greek word that is translated save is defined as this: to save, to heal, to preserve, rescue, or to deliver and protect. All right? So, and here's what you got to know. This is the key to that whole, where it's able to save your souls. Are you ready for this? The Greek word that's translated souls is psuche. Say psuche. It's where we get our English word psyche from. It's talking about your mind. It's not talking about you getting saved and going to heaven. It's talking about it affecting your mind, your soul, your heart. Amen? It's talking about our mind, will, and emotions, our soul. The spirit and the soul, by the way, are very closely connected. I talked about that a lot before. But it's talking about the part of us. This passage, that phrase, where it's able to save our soul, all right, it's talking about that part of us that's not born again. Are you following me? We're a three-part being, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Only one part of us is born again. What part is that? Our spirit man. This is talking about your soul. This is talking about your mind that needs to be renewed. That's what the implanted word does. So it's able. This verse is revealing to us several things. The implanted word will heal, renew, preserve, deliver, and protect our mind, which will in turn help us. Are you ready for this? To bridle or control our tongue and prevent us from being deceived. Amen? In our heart. Only the implanted word, listen to me, only the implanted word of God that is growing roots in our heart, in the heart of a person, has the power to truly heal or save our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Listen to this. Are you ready? I'm going to go deeper. Say, go deeper, Pastor James. All right, I will. Listen to this. So if someone is lacking restraint and not showing self-control in their spoken words, you want to know what the Holy Spirit showed me? They need healing in their soul. That's why the implanted word getting in and growing roots, it heals your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. How many of you need a healing of the mind, will, and emotions today? We all do in certain areas, don't we? Amen. No one's going to arrive this side of heaven. It's a constant process of renewing our mind. Amen. So a person that, let me say it again, a person that is not showing self-control in their spoken words, they need healing in their soul. They need their soul saved, healed, protected, delivered. All right, which includes deliverance ministry, by the way, that maybe someone in their life, they've given place to the enemy in their thought life, in their mind, right? Or maybe even through a trauma that wasn't even your fault. Amen? All right, maybe there's rejection. There's other kinds of emotional bondage, emotional baggage. What it comes down to is this. There's some kind of pain in the soul, mind, will, and emotions, and it's causing them not to have control of the words that they speak. Come on, somebody. Oh, listen to me. So, listen to me. Someone needs to hear this. This would include the sin of gossip and slander or trying to tear each other down. Amen? Because many times, the people that fall into gossip and slander and can't control their tongue, it's because they have rejection issues from the past. Hello, amen? And here's what happens. They lack trust in people. Oh, you got to hear me here. Amen? And so what they're trying to do is they're always trying to get people on their side, okay? This is a manifestation of not being healed in the soul, mind, will, and emotions. It's very unhealthy. Amen? Are you two with me out there? Do I have two people? Do I have two people with me today? Oh, thank you. All right. So, a lot of people that went through rejection carry that kind of a thing. And what it comes down to, the Holy Spirit showed me this. He said, those kind of people that need healing in their soul, there's trauma in their soul, all right, and they can't bridle their tongue, all right, there's just feels like it's a free-for-all. They're always, here's what the Holy Spirit said, they're always in combat or chaos mode on the inside, and it manifests in their outer world. Right? All right? So, because if there's chaos on the inside, it's going to come out. If there's peace and joy and love on the inside of a person, that's going to come out. So it comes down to the condition of a person's soul. That's why when Marianne and I meet with people, before casting any devils out, we're dealing with the emotional healing aspect of the soul of a person. Amen? because you can cast the devil out all day long. But if you're not bringing healing to a person's soul, hey, guys, seven more others, come on back. Amen. There needs to be healing and dealing with the problems that are taking place in the soul, mind, will, and emotions of a person. So it's a negative cycle from a sick or an unhealed soul that they're in bondage. And here's what happened. A person that has bondage in the soul, okay? They're unhealed in the soul. Unfortunately, these individuals are easily influenced by demon spirits. Demon spirits play on that wounding. They play on that unhealed soul. Are you following me, anybody? This is better preaching here than what you're giving credit for here. Because this, listen, all y'all are wondering, why does a person act like that? I'm giving you the reason right here. It's an unhealed soul. Amen? Now, here's what you also got to know. It's no excuse. Amen? It's no excuse to stay that way. I'm just trying to tell you what the deeper dynamics are that's going on in a person who's like that. Right? Come on, if you're an adult, hello, somebody. Take charge of your life, especially if you're a Christian, right? Come on, you know. But demons are playing on that weakness and character flaws in that person's life. So they're very easily influenced by that. And I've told you before that demons operate through the flesh of a person, the fleshly desires of a person, right? You ever heard someone say, oh, that's not demons, that's just the flesh. No, demons are intertwined with fleshly desires of a person, right? Amen? So listen to this. So the person isn't understanding the division. They're not understanding the danger that they're causing within the body of Christ or even a local church, right? And it ends up, here's what happened. It ends up destroying relationships. It ends up destroying friendships. And it causes people, listen to me, it causes people to leave local churches that weren't supposed to leave in the first place. And then the kingdom of darkness is loving every minute of it. Amen? Let me just tell you something. One of the biggest irritations, can Pastor be honest with you today? Great. One of the biggest irritations for a pastor is when someone leaves the church for someone else's foolish actions toward them. Or someone not walking in love towards someone else. Are you following me? I can't tell you how I hate to hear the words. You'll contact the person. Hey, what's up? You know, is everything okay? Yeah, well, Pastor, I love the church. Man, I get so much out of your sermons. But such and such. Oh, no, you're the church is such a blessing. The presence of God is so strong there. But such and such said this. Come on, somebody. This has to be healed in the body of Christ. Are you following me? I mean, if a person is going to get offended and leave a church, give me first crack at it. Let me be responsible for that. Give me a shot to kick him out the door for some reason. But when it's someone else, I can't stand it. Amen. Now, it's one thing if a person leaves a church because they just feel God's moving them on, and it's a new season in their life. That's great, wonderful. God bless you. Go do great things for God, right? But when it's forced by foolishness like gossip, slander, and treating someone poorly, that's totally unacceptable in a church. Amen? Now, listen to this. Slander. What's slander? This was very interesting. Slander is the murder of a person's reputation with false statements or damaging statements. Are you hearing me? Let me say it again. Slander is the murder of a person's reputation with false statements or damaging statements. Ugh. So it's a bad thing. That's just a bad thing when that happens. Amen. And then the And then what happens is the person will leave, and then the church gets dragged through the mud because a member or members couldn't bridle their tongue. Amen. And whatever, jealousy got involved, whatever happened. It's fleshly and it's ridiculous. And it shouldn't be happening among Christians. Amen? All right. So, I I'm not stupid, all right? I totally understand that everyone is not your cup of tea. Their personalities might be different. I'm not saying you got to do kumbaya with everyone. I'm not saying that. But don't force them out of the church. Do I make myself clear? I mean, I get it. You're not going to hang out with everyone, okay? Come on, give me a break. But we're not in middle school here, people. Hey, man, we're adults, and we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are pretty good things, wouldn't you think? We must learn to play nice with each other. At least play nice when we're gathered together, right? I mean, you do it outside too, but you know what I'm getting at, right? All right. So, if we're commanded to love our enemies, how much more are we to love each other as Christians? Amen. In fact, they said this. They said that the world will know us by our love. Are you ready for this? Not for Jesus, for each other. Isn't that something? Well, we could come in here, lift our hands all day long, pray and all this stuff, and then you go treat someone like, ooh, well, bad. Right? Oh. But they're going to know us by our love for each other. That's very interesting to me, right? Oh, wow, and I'm only on page 6 here. All right. See, that's what the enemy attacks the most. They will try to influence us to get out of love. Why? Ready for this? Because it ruins our testimony to a world that's going to hell in a handbasket. It ruins it. Proverbs 12:18 says these words. It says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Interesting, right? So the words that you speak to people either promotes death or life. Amen? All right, and that's not just talking about physical health. I mean, the words that you speak can, by the way, every word that you speak, the cells of your body are listening. The organs in your body are listening to the words that come out of your mouth. Amen? But it's not just talking about that. It's also talking about our words, our life and death. Are you ready for this? To relationships. Death and life are in the power, or that literally means this, the authority of the tongue. Our words carry authority with it. Amen? That's not only talking about the words that we speak. Here we go. We're going to jump into this now. But it's also talking about the how we say something. Amen? The tongue represents the words, and not just that, and the tone and attitude behind the words that we're speaking. Say tone. Say attitude. Communication is more than words. There's a spirit behind what you're saying all the time. Are you following me? All right. It's also talking about our motive and the intentions of the words that we're speaking. Right? That's why slander, it's murdering someone's reputation with false, right? There's a motive behind it to slander someone. Amen? All right? We don't want that. So people can tell if love or hate is attached to your words. Did you know that? You ever had that? You can feel it. You can feel it on their words, right? Or someone, like, if they're trying to be sticky sweet to you, but it's like, yeah, there's a wrong motive somewhere behind that. Right? Amen. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. The power or authority of the tongue means the spirit that's attached to the spoken words, all right? Words are containers. They contain blessing. They contain cursing. They wound or they heal. Amen? And depending on your desire, your motive, and the intention of what you're saying, you're either giving place to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. That is why evil words are like witchcraft. They're meant to control. They're meant to manipulate. Amen. That's what slander is. You're trying to control, manipulate the outlook of another person. Are you following me? All right, you're trying to twist it. And that is why the Word of God says that life and death are in the power or the authority of the tongue. Spoken words are a release or a manifestation of what's in our heart, like I said earlier, right? If your heart or soul or your mind is in a fleshly mindset, guess what's going to be attached to words? Death. If you're in a spiritual mindset, then guess what's going to be attached to your words? Life. Amen. Now, let me go a little deeper. Now, just because death is attached to some spoken words, that doesn't mean they're necessarily demonic or satanic. Hello, somebody. Amen. What it's also saying is this. Death, it means there's no life in it. It means that they're unprofitable. Are you getting it? Like, in other words, keep your mouth shut until you have something good to say. Amen? They are, let's talk about this, idle words. Say idle words. They're idle words according to the Word of God. Idle words are these. Listen to this. Idle words that come out of our mouth, they are empty, they're insincere, or they're exaggerated words, so they're not spoken from a place of truth in your heart. Are you following me? They are birthed out of deception. All right? Those are idle words. Your heart is not speaking from a place of truth. Those words are idle and they promote death. In other words, there's no good fruit that will come from those words because there's a detachment in the heart there. Or there's a wrong desire, motive, or intention. Desire, motive, and intention. We always got to check what our intention is of what we're speaking. Amen? Are you speaking something to hurt someone? Are you, right? There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference if, you know, let's put it this way. There's a difference of speaking something that's trying to slander or hurt someone, and then there's a difference if you have the right motive of protecting the flock. Are you following me? Because there's some things I have to say sometimes. I'm not trying to slander someone. I'm trying to protect the flock. Are you getting it? All right. So, unfortunately, that's just kind of, I mean, I don't mind doing it if it's protecting people, obviously, right? But let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. So, again, that's why I'm saying the desire, the motive, and intention. What is it? Go through that list before you say something to someone. If the desire, motive, and intention is wrong or evil, shut your mouth. Amen. All right, now, Proverbs 18, 4 through 8. It says, the words of a man's mouth, or a person's mouth, are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. The current presidential administration. Okay, you get it. Verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer or a gossiper are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. So words are deep. Why? Why are words deep? Words are deep because they expose what's in the depths of a person's heart. Right? Oh, come on, somebody. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many times am I going to say that in this message? As many times as it takes, right? Verse 7 says this, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So your spoken words will either be a blessing or a curse to your life and to other people's lives. This is serious stuff. God takes it very seriously, the words that come out of our mouth. Verse 8 is also talking about gossip and slander. Why am I on gossip and slander so much? I don't know. The Holy Spirit wanted me to speak this. It says that the words go down. Listen to me. They go down into the inmost body. Now, do you want to know that phrase, inmost body? Do you know what that literally means in the Hebrew? It means, this was amazing, it means rooms in the belly. Rooms in the belly. Say that with me. Rooms in the belly. I believe this is talking about a person giving place to demons in their life. It's interesting that demons view the human body or a human soul as their house. And a house, come on, has rooms in it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So it's, by the way, it's not, I've ministered deliverance for over 25 years now. It's not uncommon for demons to be in or to reside in specific areas of a person's physical body. Are you hearing me? I would say that would be a snare to a person's soul. Amen. So listen, more is going on in the spirit realm in your life than you even know, especially when you not bridle the tongue and you give in to gossip and slander. You're opening a door. Come on. In your belly. Well, you know what else is interesting? Where's your spirit at? In your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Interesting, isn't it? So that's where your spirit resides. So it would be very interesting that now demons can't reside in the born-again spirit, but they can reside in your physical body and your soul or your mind. It's just very interesting that a demon would be in the belly area. Rooms of the belly. Isn't that crazy? Wow. Oh, my, my, my. Well, listen to this. So Jesus said that it's possible to murder a person by words of hate that we speak against them. It's possible to murder a person. In fact, he said this. He said, hating someone is like murdering someone. Are you following me? That's why slander is the murder of a person's reputation. Amen. I seen a post on Facebook recently, and the person said, you know, if people would go to a person and get to know them, instead of listening to slander about them, they would actually probably like the person that they're hating based on someone else's opinion. Are you following me? Isn't that crazy? How many opinions have we have on people based on someone else's opinion of them? And if we went to them, we'd probably rock out with them and have a great time and a great friendship. My, my, my. So I believe that Jesus said, if you hate a person, it's like it's murder. You're hating them, right? I believe Jesus is not only talking about holding on to that negative emotion of hate, but also the fruit of that negative emotion of hate, meaning speaking words that come from that place of hate deep on the inside of a person. That is the same thing. Listen, when you speak from a place of hate of someone, you want to know what? Christian, child of God, you're no different than someone in witchcraft throwing a hex or a vex or a spell on someone. Because that's all that a hex and a vex and a spell is. It's speaking curse words toward them. Are you following me? But the word says, the word stretches us. It says that we are even supposed to bless our enemies. Yet we're cursing Christians. We're cursing our brothers and sisters. And it ought not be. Amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through 32 here. I told you this was going to be a discipleship message today. Amen. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. In other words, go out and be profitable in society and help people. Amen? Let no corrupt word, King James says, let no corrupt communication. I kind of like communication better there. Proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and here it is, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another. Why? Why is he telling us this? Because he knows the temptation is not to be kind to one another. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So this passage here is interesting. It addresses lying, which is a form, say form, of corrupt communication. Amen? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all rooted in truth. Guess who the father of lies is? Satan, the devil. Amen. That's right. So we must desire to be like our Heavenly Father and be rooted in truth. Amen. And then it says, be angry and sin not. And that's not only talking about your physical actions. That's talking about the sin of speaking curse words out of your mouth. Amen. It's talking about the words that come out of our mouth. Do not, and how you speak to a person. Not only what you speak, but how you speak it. Amen. Do not give place to the devil by your actions or spoken words. Don't give him a room to live in your life, soul, or physical body. Amen? Don't give demons any influence, any control over your life. Amen? Let no corrupt word or communication proceed out of your mouth. Listen, but that what is good for the necessary edification, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Now, let's listen to this now. The Greek word that's translated corrupt, say corrupt. That, you want to know what that word means? That literally means this, decayed or rotten. Decayed or rotten. It's not a good thing, amen? And that includes cuss words, perversion, words that have unbelief in them. When we're talking about corrupt communication, it's a huge category. Let's just say it that way, right? Say corrupt communication. A lot of things can fit in that box of corrupt communication. Amen? All right, so according to the Word of God, our spoken words should edify or build people up, not tear them down. And we should be imparting grace to the hearers. Now, what does that mean? Listen to this, what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this. He said, to impart grace to someone means to speak in a beneficial and constructive ways that will bless people. Beneficial and constructive ways that will bless people. Gossip and slander do not fit in that category. Amen? Now listen to this. So our words should encourage people and be a help or a benefit of their faith walk on this earth. We should be a help to people in their life and not a hindrance. People's lives are hard enough when, besides us trying to throw mud on them. Are you following me, somebody? We deal with enough in our personal lives than to deal with it in the body of Christ. We need to be here. We need to edify. We need to build up each other. Amen? Our spoken words, listen to me, are like bits in horses' mouths. They're like a rudder on a ship on the sea. It steers and directs, listen to me, not only our life, but the lives of all those we speak to. It directs, It directs. That's why if we speak something negative to a person, have you ever had that where you are in the greatest mood and then someone speaks something discouraging to you and it's just like the whole day's gone. It's ruined. Have you ever had that before? A boss or someone said something to you that just threw it all away, right? Our words are like bits in the horse's mouths. They're like rudders on a ship. They don't just steer our life. It steers all those that we speak to on a daily basis. Amen. So to impart grace, listen to this. To impart grace also means this, to be aware and conscious of the specific person and the situation you're addressing. Let me say that again. To impart grace means to be aware and conscious of the specific person and situation that you're addressing. Now, what do I mean by that? What might be acceptable to someone else with how you say something might not be acceptable to that other person. Right? I mean, we got people in our lives where we can just be clear cut, straight to the point, say it like them, and we don't care. We say it, walk away, and we're done. Right? But if you do that to someone else, you're ruining their day. I mean, it just ruins them. So you got to be aware of every person. There's some people you can do that to, but there's some you just can't, right? You might have to say something with more of a tenderness. You might have to say something with more of grace, all right? What am I trying to say? Are you ready for this? We must always remain within the boundary of love. You got to remain within the boundary of love with every person you come in contact with. And then the passage goes on to talk about putting bitterness and anger and evil speaking away from you. So, according to God, our spoken words matter to Him, and they should matter to us also. Another verse that deals with how we say something is just as important with what we're saying is Proverbs 18:24. It says this, ready for this? A man who has friends must himself be friendly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. In other words, when you speak, when you're around people, you must show yourself friendly. That's not just the words you're saying, it's how you're saying it. Amen? I mean, if you're going to say something and you're going to act angry all the time, no one's going to want to be around you. The Word of God's trying to help you out. Do you want to have friends? Show yourself friendly. Let it come across nice and with love, right? You can say something, two things in two totally different ways and get two totally different results, right? Amen. All right. So that is the way that we as Christians should approach our fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ and others in general. Show ourselves friendly. Deliver spoken words with love to people. Now, in my last passage, go there with me real quick, Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and I'm done. Psalm 19, just one verse. Psalm 19, verse 14. This verse, one verse, sums it all up right here. It sums my whole message up right here. Are you ready? Here we go. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, let's be very careful as the children of God to make sure the words that come out of our mouth, the meditation of our heart is acceptable in our Father's Heavenly Father's sight, because ultimately we're here to please our Heavenly Father. And church, let's be quick to hear and slow to speak. Let's be a blessing to every person we come in contact with. Let's impart grace. Say grace. To every person we come in contact with. Grace means this, you don't deserve it. Sure, some people might not deserve it in your life, but guess what? Impart it anyways, because the blessing's on you. Amen? You will get the blessing for imparting that grace. So we must communicate wisely and righteously with each other. Amen? The importance of communication. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. The importance of communication. It's not just the what, it's the how. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today, you want to do that. Not just you want to, You need to do that. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come on down and pray with one of our prayer team members. Make it right. Get born again. Secure your ticket to heaven, baby. Amen? Hallelujah. And live the rest of your life in obedience to Him. That's the blessed life. That's the best life. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've fallen away from the Lord, and you know it. Maybe, and let's tie it into my message. Maybe you've let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Maybe you're one where you feel like, you know what? He was talking about a wounded soul. That's me. I've had things happen in my life, and I struggle with it. There's chaos on the inside of me. If you want prayer today, come on down. Pray with one of our prayer team members. There's a powerful anointing here. Whenever the word is preached, there's an anointing for that preached word. Amen? Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. The word says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Come on down. They'll pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. And my goodness. What a great day today. Amen? Amen. Make sure you all, if you're able, come to Pastor Solomon's memorial service this Saturday. Visitation from 9 to 10, and then the service starts at 10. Then there will be a meal afterwards. So come out. Let's show our love and appreciation to the family, our respects to Pastor Solomon, because that man spent 37 years building this up. And so I'm just I'm just glad to be a small part to keep the train moving. Amen? All right. I love you all. Have a great week. All the events are still on. I'm not going to name them all, but you know what they are. All right. I love you all. We'll see you next week. God bless you guys.